the government coming? We need gasoline. With gasoline, you're going to bring food and gasoline and clothes? And gasoline to run generators. Bring us generators. Bring us something to get heat. We're going to die if we get killed with the weather. We're going to die. We're going to freeze. We have no cars. President Obama, please listen to us down here. We are going to die. You don't understand. You've got to get your trucks here on this corner.
Buckle your seatbelt. It's time for another episode of the Prepper Recon Podcast.
KatieArmor.com is your one-stop shop for the most affordable body armor, period. With packages starting at $169.99 and free shipping on every order, Katie offers soft armor and rifle threat-rated armor up to level 4. Go to KatieArmor.com and get your body armor today while you still can. Mention this ad and receive a free tactical scarf for a limited time with any body armor package.
Ready Made Resources is a trusted name in the prepper community because they've been around for 18 years. They offer great prices on night vision, water filtration, long-term storage food, solar energy components, and provide free technical service. Get ready for an uncertain future at readymaderesources.com. Today's guest is Lenore Burkhard, author of Pulse. Lenore, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Mark. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. So tell us about your new book.
Well, Pulse is different for me. I usually write historical romance, but somehow or other I got on the idea of this terrible catastrophe that could happen, like an EMP. I'm sure most of your listeners are familiar with what EMP means, electromagnetic pulse. And it just took over my imagination, and then I felt like God wanted me to write this book, to get it out there primarily to the church, a call to prepare, and for anyone else who will listen. It just came into being, so now I also write YA Suspense, but I use my initials, L.R. Burkhard, so that my old readers will know instantly this is not the sweet romance they might be looking for.
But now, your book was written for a young adult audience, but so was Hunger Games, and I read all three of those books, and I absolutely loved them. Would adults enjoy Pulse as well?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I think all of my reviews so far on Amazon are by adults. And, you know, my agent said it was a page turner. She's an adult. So, it's definitely for adults also. And I think the YA market really, it kind of goes without saying. There are a lot of adults who read it and enjoy it.
And
the reason this book is YA, in my opinion, is because it is told from the perspective of teenagers.
And where does the book take place?
Well, it takes place in Ohio, oddly enough. No, I happen to live in Ohio. And really, it lends itself well to this kind of story because, well, first of all, it's about the aftermath of an EMP. Okay, so the grid is down, there's no electricity. And Ohio happens to have small cities, has a couple of big ones. Small cities, it has a lot of farms and kind of old-fashioned type farmsteads, homesteaders, homeschoolers. And then it has, you know, upper middle class or even really ritzy suburbia. It has a lot of that, a lot of really big homes, I mean, for the wealthy. And it's very affordable here, actually. I mean, what I'm saying is a really big home in New York, you'd have to be a multimillionaire, but here you don't. Anyway, so I was able to take three different settings, three different girls. They all know each other from school. But when the EMP happens, it affects each one very differently depending on where they live. One is in an apartment building, which I consider really the worst place to be, although she's not in a major city, but it's still not a fun, it's not a pretty picture.
And how realistic is an EMP attack, in your opinion?
I think it's very realistic. That's the reason I wrote the book, because this is not broad science fiction. It's not, you know, War of the Worlds. This could happen. And there's a link on my website, and I'm sure some people are familiar with this. There's a link leading to a congressional paper, because Congress actually appointed a committee to discuss what would happen if an EMP occurs, and it can occur at any time from a solar flare. And actually, it has occurred in the past, but we've never had the fragile electric grid when this happened in the past that we have now. So it would be much more catastrophic in terms of how it would affect the world. Anyway, their conclusion was that it would really create chaos. It would create an absolute national disaster if it was anything near the magnitude of what we had in 1859, what they call the Carrington event. Back then, we only had telegraphs. So telegraphs all over were affected. But today, you know, it would affect any circuitry, any electronic circuitry that isn't protected.
In
Sadly, even though they came to the conclusion that there would be mass rioting, there would be multiple millions of people dying in a very short order. They came to that conclusion and yet did not, they failed to pass a resolution to, you know, to force the country to get hardened, what they call hardened, which is protected against an EMP. The only thing between us and this happening is God.
Yeah. And the former CIA director, James Woolsey, he's been going around sort of promoting some of the findings of the EMP Commission and encouraging folks to start calling their elected representatives because it's like you said, there's been very, very little done despite the fact that, you know, it's the commission found that, you know, that they think that somewhere maybe between 70% and 90% of the population might die off after an EMP because of our reliance and dependence on the grid. You know, people can't get water, the gas pumps don't work, the trucks don't run, and everything
right.
just basically collapses into chaos because we're so dependent on the grid. And,
yes, and we've forgotten how to survive without it. You know, part of it is that, I mean, 100 years ago, they didn't have the grid, and it was just normal. People knew how to get by. They had a whole infrastructure to support that. They had an iceman. They had, I don't know, different things to bring in food. But today, we no longer have that. Everything is dependent, as you say, on electricity. It's encouraging to hear about that guy. I have not heard about him or about any grassroots movement, really, to contact our representatives. Now, I did hear that the military has tried to start hardening some of their equipment, but, you know, they're not exactly forthcoming with what they're doing, so we really don't know how much would be protected. Would it be protected on U.S. soil, or is it other bases around the world? You know, we don't know.
Yeah, and typically in our minds, prevention's worth, you know, an ounce of prevention's worth a pound of cure. But unfortunately, government kind of sees that backwards because if they spend money and they prevent something, then basically the sheeple people of America never know that there was a catastrophe averted. So they don't really get any pats on the back for that. So it's kind of like it's not. It doesn't really pay off in political capital for them to do something that's going to prevent
that's
a catastrophe.
Right.
So it's that's just right. so there's so much backward thinking ingrained within our government, and that's a huge part of the problem as well.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that. They don't see that the prevention, spending all that money, they think it would just create criticism. But if it happened, you know, then they'd be the hero.
And
then they'd be the hero. But.
Right. And one of the things that I've heard former Director Woolsey say is that, you know, it wouldn't take rocket science to set off an EMP. It's pretty low-tech stuff. We don't really have the defenses against it. We've got sort of defenses against incoming ICBMs, which, you know, is basically the technology there is basically trying to shoot a bullet with a bullet. But with an EMP, it doesn't take that type of precision. You know, it can be launched off a container ship right offshore, and it's just got to get up into the atmosphere. And by the time we even know that the thing's launched, it's too late, and we're living in the dark. And one of the things
I have read that even if they hit it, it would be disastrous. Their hitting it would cause such chaos. It would cause a big explosion that would be within our airspace.
Right.
Even if they're hitting it, you know, they're sending it way up. If we were to stop it and it's coming from somewhere really close, this, my understanding is that it would still be catastrophic, maybe not as bad as they intended, but
and you
it
said,
would be bad.
You said the only thing that's really stopping this right now is God.
I believe that.
Yes. We're murdering 3,288 children a day in America through abortion. Christians are being actively persecuted for standing up for their beliefs. They're being jailed now, with Kim Davis being arrested for standing up for what she believed to be right. We've had Marines that have been court-martialed for putting Bible verses on their desk. It's just, you know, we've completely lost our minds in this country. Do you think that God's going to continue to protect us from these types of things?
Well, that is the million-dollar question, really, because who knows the mind of God? I mean, if you look historically at Israel, and the church today is an extension of Israel. We are the true Jew, according to the New Testament. So if you look historically at how God dealt with Israel, every time they fell deeply into sin, deeply into these kinds of horrendous crimes, God brought judgment on the nation. He brought it in the form of exile, of terrible, war, death, famine, all of it. Just today, I was reading in the book of Joel, and there's a little intro. It said, Joel uses the occasion of a famine to describe what happens to people who try to live apart from God and his will. Eventually, they lose everything and starve. And it occurred to me that, you know, God is still the same, and I felt like I could say, well, L.R. Burkhardt uses the occasion of an EMP to describe what happens to people, namely us, who try to live apart from God and his will. Eventually, they lose everything and starve. And really, if this happened, unless society is working together and in small communities working together, and there's got to be some protections in place beforehand, then that's what would happen. We'd lose everything. No matter how you prepare, it's not going to last forever. So, you know, you've got to work with other people. And unless God has mercy, because in the very same book, first Joel says, alas for that day. For the day of the Lord is near, it will come like destruction from the Almighty. And that's what we fear. But in the same book, it says, wait a minute, where did I write this? I wrote it down somewhere. Oh, that if we repent, God can turn away calamity. He is compassionate. So there's our hope. You know, certainly our country really does, it's begging for judgment, as you say. We're murdering children. We're murdering our most helpless. And yes, the growing persecution on just being a Christian, it's not getting better right now. So who knows? We need to pray. We need to repent as a nation. We certainly need to repent as a church because, you know, my husband always says, if the church didn't let society fall this far, it wouldn't have gotten this far. But you're only going to have as strong a society as you have a church.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. I've personally been buying gold and silver from JM Bullion for over 2 years. They offer the best prices over spot that I can find, and I've never had a problem with an order. If you're looking to trade in some of your fiat paper for real money, check out jmbullion.com today.
When disaster strikes, it's too late to prepare. PrepperRecon.com offers MOLLE-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, ACS chest seal, tough strip bandages, gauze, and so much more. $89 includes shipping. To buy your individual first aid kit, go to PrepperRecon.com and click the store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.
So many people over the past decades, I mean, I know the numbers are rapidly falling now of the people that would call themselves Christians, but in decades past, that was a very large majority of the population in America. But we were able to keep abortion on the books for, you know, over four decades. I don't really understand how that happens unless the the pastors are just complacent and not calling their flocks to get involved and to get out and make sure that they're not voting for anybody that's going to allow that to continue. And I think what your husband's said is right. It's, you know, we couldn't have got this far unless the church would have allowed it.
Yeah, I agree. And it's a lot of little things just like that. I've had Christians who said, no, you can't just vote, you know, on abortion. Well, that's a life and death issue. I don't know what's much more important than that. And to me, you can vote, you know, based on how a candidate stands on abortion. It's like a litmus test of where's their heart. And, letting congregations slip. You know, I knew someone who would see abortion advocates, you know, people out there who were against it, holding up signs of babies. We used to do this. And they'd say, oh, that's disgusting. They shouldn't let people do that. Well, the disgusting thing is that it happens.
Of course.
It's not the people out there showing what happens. It's the fact that it's going on. But, yeah, as a society, we're just viewing it backwards, you know. So I thank God for all these Planned Parenthood videos that have come out. It's the first time I've seen the whole country finally getting it, you know, getting the evil of what's going on there. And maybe that is a sign of hope. Someone like, you know, our president, I think, is a judgment. It's already a judgment on the nation.
Mm. Now, are you actively preparing for an EMP or any event that might disrupt our present way of life?
Well, I try to prepare as best I can just in terms of, you know, I think everyone should try to prepare in terms of being able to eat and stay warm in case of any kind of catastrophe. And that's really not extreme. You know, people who buy life insurance are preppers because they're preparing for something that could happen. If you buy car insurance, well, we have to, but even if you didn't have to, you know, you're doing that as a preparation for something that could happen. And that's how I try to tell people about preparing. I'll be doing a workshop at my local library about this. You know, you don't have to look at it as like crazy paranoid people thinking the world's going to end. Even if this happens, it's not the end of the world. It's just the end of the world as we know it. But preparing is just common sense. It's something your grandmother probably did or great-grandmother. And we need to live that way. We need to not live as if the grocery store is always going to be there, because it may not be.
And you grew up in New York City. What do you think that place would look like after an EMP?
It would be terrible. It would be a place you don't want to be. I don't think any city is going to be a good place. One of the girls in my book lives in a small city in Ohio. She lives on the top of her apartment building. And really, I think her story is one of the hardest to read in the book. It's also, in a way, exciting. It's got a lot of action. But it's not going to be pretty. People are just not ready. They're not even ready. Well, this happens in the winter. They're not even ready to stay warm. And that alone is going to cause tons of fires, people trying to get warmth going, and it's going to get out of hand, and then fire's going to spread because you can't call the fire department. You know, it's like one thing after another on top of a huge disaster. You're just going to have one after another, like waves and waves of things happening. And it's sad. The whole idea of it is sad, and I do pray it never happens. One thing I'd like to mention about the book is that a lot of preppers, most of the books out there are told through the eyes of like a He-Man hero. And that doesn't answer the question for people like me who would say, well, what would I do? How would I react? You know, I'm not that guy. I'm not Arnold Schwarzenegger. I haven't been in the Marines. So this book is really good for women and girls in particular. Not that men wouldn't like it. They have. They've left me great reviews. But it tells them on their level, this is how I would feel. This is how I would react. And the good thing is a lot of my readers, if you look on my reviews on Amazon, they're starting to prepare. And that is very gratifying to me because that's why I wrote the book.
Yeah, that's fantastic. When you can get somebody to open their eyes and start thinking outside of the box and start thinking about, you know, wow, this is a real threat. This is something I need to start paying attention for too. And, you know, whether or not folks actually think that you know, the odds are high, just because the odds are there and it is so catastrophic, it's definitely something that you have to think about now, because if you wait until it happens, there's no use in thinking about it at that point, because there will be very, very little that you'll be able to do in the way of preparation from that point.
Did you know that NASA has said if a solar flare occurs, a catastrophic magnitude, okay, the Earth has 12 hours. And I'm telling you, anyone listening right now, you can't prepare in 12 hours. You can't really prepare for a catastrophic EMP completely. But you can make life a lot more comfortable. You can make life longer, actually, just longer, because dehydration in many parts of the country is going to be a big issue. But you can buy water now, so do it. You know, Ohio, fortunately, has very clay-type soil. We have ponds and lakes everywhere, and if you get a really good filter, you've got water. But a lot of parts of the country don't. So even if we can't handle the whole idea of, you know, this causing the grid to go down completely and all of the chaos that might follow, it just makes sense to prepare. You know, the hordes aren't going to get everywhere. They just, I don't think they're going to be in that big numbers. And some people are going to just get by. And you won't get by if you're not preparing. You just won't. You won't have food. You won't have water.
And we were talking about New York. And unfortunately, there are people who live in very dense population centers, and they just can't leave because of their work or other ties. And, you know, you just you can't just quit your job, you know, if you've got a good job that's paying the bills right now and move out to the countryside if you're tied to that. Do you have any advice for folks that are in that situation?
Yes. Well, people like that, generally, they know someone who lives somewhere else. And those are the people, like, if you're a prepper, you're very familiar with the term bug-out bag. Now, I have a problem with bug-out bags because most of us are not going to be able to survive tramping through the forest with a bug-out bag. I don't care how much you carry. And I wouldn't even want to live that way. But when you're going from one place to another and you have a destination, and actually this is happening in my second book, the sequel to Pulse, which is called Resilience, the person who lived in an apartment building, and this is what I would tell anyone. If you can't stay where you are, and you probably can't, not for long, then you need to have a destination to get to. And that's when you should have a good bug-out bag, which is, you know, enough food. And you need small, light food. You need the MREs, you know, the military-style rations. It's not going to be a buffet, but you're going to live. Things like that, just to get from one place and have a portable water filter. They come very light. You can get one for, like, campers and backpackers. And if you can walk with that, the only other issue is going to be protection. And God can protect you. And if you have a weapon, have it with you. That's my best advice, because I really don't think cities are going to stay livable. Even if you have some preparations, people around you won't. You're going to have hygiene issues, you know? I don't really know the answer to that if you tried to stay in an apartment building, let's say, when your sewer is not working. I think leaving is probably the best option.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think that maybe for folks that don't live in such a huge population center that it's just sprawled out for miles and miles and miles, if you can get on the outskirts of town, if you can maybe take a little bit longer commute, a lot of times, especially if you're a renter, you're going to get, or even if you're buying, you're going to get more property for your money if you're farther away from the center of town, typically. And that's going to sort of be that trade-off. It's going to cost you more in gas and time because you're going to have a longer commute. But, you know, what's the trade-off for that, you know, when you're talking about survivability? You know, if it takes you from a postage stamp lot to somewhere that you're able to have a compost bin and a garden and, you know, get you out just a little bit further away from the hordes that you were just talking about, you know, maybe that's a decent trade-off to have a little bit longer commute into work, to have a little bit more space. Usually you're going to have more square footage in your dwelling, so that means there's more space for storage, for long-term food storage and things like that. Because, you know, if you're in a little bitty apartment, you start running into issues of how much room do I really have to store up much? And, of course, when we started out, we had a very small apartment. One of the things that we did is we put our bed up on cinder blocks so that we were able to put, you know, the plastic storage bins underneath the bed and create a little bit more storage space that way. And then Walmart sells, they sell the platform bed frames, which sort of take the place of a box spring. And, you know, they're $100, $150 and that buys you a little bit more space if you don't want to do the concrete blocks, because the concrete blocks, you're doing that with the box springs, with the mattress. So now it's kind of up in the air a little bit, which is, you know, if you're thinking about it aesthetically and you want something smaller, then the platform bed frames work good for that. But there's things that you can do, and it's the thing is that most of us aren't in the position to go get, you know, 500 acres and live in the dead center of it and be completely 100% self-sufficient.
I don't see that happening for the most people. Most people are just not going to be able to do that.
But anybody that's willing to take the time and think about it and do a little preparation and do a little planning can get themselves in a better position than what they're in right now. And I think that that's the goal, and that's the common sense solution to it.
Yeah, unfortunately, cities are really, you know, traditionally people moved there because it was the better place to live, but that's not the case if you don't have power. Now, there were cities in the 19th century, but again, they had an infrastructure. They had things coming in by horse. You know, we just don't have any of that infrastructure, and I'm not saying you can't get it again, but it would take time. And so you need a way to survive from the day of the calamity until people start picking up the pieces again.
Right, which could be a very, very long time, especially when there's no...
I would think it, yeah, yeah, at least a couple of years. And by then, who knows, we may even get the grid back. I don't discount the idea that maybe the military is doing more than they're saying, but I wouldn't bet my life on it.
Yeah, and a lot of what they're doing may be just for the military.
That's true. That is so true, just like the president and, you know, some billionaires, they've got their retreats. The other issue, which I hate to even think about, is, you know, once the grid went down, if it did, then we're just sitting ducks for all our enemies, and we know America has many enemies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really an opportunity, and that's probably even a bigger threat than just trying to survive with nothing. It's not that we would be in a vacuum. We'd be sitting here without the power, and everyone knows it. You know, hopefully it wouldn't just be America, if it was a solar flare. Not that I want other people to suffer, but if it was just our country by a terrorist, for instance, that could happen if it was a terrorist bomb that set off and started the EMP, then we'd be in really bad places, because they're not going to just do that and then sit back. You know, they would do that with the view of taking over.
And how important?
I haven't really gone there.
Yeah, and how important do you think it is to be connected to God in an EMP or in any type of crisis?
Oh, that is the major thing. You know that. Now that you said that, Mark. I mean, really, there's no preparation apart from being prepared for eternity, first of all. And, you know, if push comes to shove, I'm ready to give up my life knowing where I'm going. So if you're not in that position, if you don't know the Lord, I would say get right with God, and you're not prepared. One day, many years ago, I was actually quite young, someone suggested to me I wasn't ready to die because I didn't have a will. Now, most 20-somethings don't have wills, but... later on, I was thinking, you know what, I'm more ready than he is because I know the Lord. I know where I'm going. I'm ready to die in that sense. And, you know, maybe that is something that we need to keep in the back of our mind. It's not, I don't want to build a bunker underground and think about surviving that some people do, like on extreme preppers. I would never want to do that. I'd rather face life, try to help as many people as I can. And if I get taken out, well, then that's God's time. You know, that's my time, and I know where I'm going. So, yeah, I think it's absolutely paramount to know God, to be right with God.
And 10 out of 10 people die, according to statistics. So I guess it makes sense to be ready for that day. If you're not prepared for that, you're not really prepared for anything.
That's true. You don't need a catastrophe.
No,
you
and
just,
then
yes.
Most of the guys that have been over in the desert will tell you that there's not a lot of atheists in the foxholes either. And,
right.
And, you know, and a lot of people, they just don't have time to think about that. But when somebody's shooting at you, now you have to think about it. And that might be the worst yeah. possible time to be thinking about, what do I believe? Where am I going to go? So right now, while you're sitting with your coffee and you can, you know, you can pick up your Bible and read it and think through all of that. And maybe now's the time to do that rather than waiting until you really need God and you're really facing the end of life here on this planet. That might not be the best time to think about that.
No, that's absolutely right. Yeah, that's absolutely right. In fact, speaking about the subject, it comes up in the book where, you know, the one family that they were homesteaders and they've got a little farm, so they're much better off than many others. But the daughter is wondering, why didn't God send us a Joseph? You know, if it, in the Egyptian Empire, when it was still a big empire, way back then in ancient days, Joseph was able to save grain for 7 years to feed many people, not just Egyptians, right? Back then, not a government, you know, putting up silos or something like that. And we, as far as I know, we don't have that. Now, the government does stockpile things, but it wouldn't be enough for everyone.
Yeah.
Anyway, the mother says, we don't have Joseph because we have something better. And sometimes that's what we can fall back on. I mean, that is what we can fall back on. And to some people, that's all they're going to have. And it's going to be enough. Because no matter what we go through here, it's a very light suffering when we compare it to the glory that is yet to be revealed. And that's what Scripture tells us. Yes, we believe it by faith. And yeah, it's just true. It's reality. You know, we may not have what we need here, but it doesn't compare to the glory that's coming. So we have Jesus. People need to look to Jesus while there is time. You know, the Bible says now is the day of salvation. So just like what you said, don't wait.
Amen. And when will the next book in the series be out?
When I finish it? That's a good question. I am working on it. Just yesterday I published a column on something called Novel Rocket. It's for writers, and it's about procrastination. I struggle with that, but I have, you know, I still have a family at home. I have a lot to do. But I'm working on it, and as soon as I finish it, it will get out there because the Kindle edition can happen quickly. So I would say probably within 3 months.
Awesome. Now, where's the best place for folks to buy your books?
On Amazon.com. I have a website, lrburkhard.com, but it has information about EMPs. You can get on my mailing list. I do a lot of giveaways, contests, things like that. But Amazon.com, just look up Pulse, like the pulse in your body, except this is an EMP pulse, electromagnetic, and it's by L.R. Burkhard. There's other books out there with that title, and they're not about this.
Okay. And then you mentioned you've got a website, but now you're also on Twitter and any other social media?
Oh, yeah. I've been out there for years because my other website, which is LenoreBurkhard.com, was for historical romance. And so I've been out there quite a while. Really, if you just put in Lenore Burkhard, and by the way, it's LINORE, it's not LE. You'll run into me. I've been out there quite a while. So,
Lenore, thanks so much for taking time to come on the show.
It was a pleasure talking to you, Mark, and thank you for having me.
In the days of Noah, Book 3, Perdition. A global empire arises like a phoenix from the ashes of the world that was. The emerging order is unified by a new global currency and a single world religion, which are mandated by an imposed UN treaty. In the interest of unity and peace, a zero-tolerance policy for dissenters is enacted and strictly enforced. Hunted down like common criminals for daring to resist the state, Noah Parker's group will have to rely on faith and wits to endure the powers of darkness, which are quickly consuming the earth. Buy your copy of The Days of Noah, Book 3, Perdition, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition from Amazon.com today.